from the MyTimmonsNow.com newsroom. This is Country 93.1 News.
Good afternoon. I'm Bob McIntyre. Kamiskosha Lake is now part of the flood warning already in effect for the Mattagami River and Porcupine Lake. The biggest factor is the 140 millimeters of rain we received last week. Mattagami Region Conservation Authority General Manager David Valier says that includes 62 millimeters over one 24-hour period. In a typical November, the total the entire month is in the mid to high 50s.
We exceeded that in one day, and we're definitely triple, if not quadruple, that almost for the month based on where we're seeing averages for the last 15 years.
Valier won't go out on a limb and predict when water levels might recede. Most rural Timmins residents spent the weekend without electricity and still might be waiting for the lights to go back on. Thursday's ice storm knocked power out that night, with trees heavy with ice toppling onto power lines. Tim Trevena's home at Ice Chest Lake didn't suffer any damage from falling trees, but he's still being careful walking around outside.
Yeah, a lot of small branches, but there's some off of those big white pines that probably weigh 150, 200 pounds, so you don't want to get hit by that.
When Hydro One expected to restore power kept being updated to later times as workers got a better handle on how much damage was done. Provincial legislation aimed at stopping a strike by education workers was repealed this afternoon at Queen's Park, now recognized as never having been law in Ontario. The bill forced a four-year contract on education workers, along with using the notwithstanding clause, making it illegal to strike or have any further wage negotiations. CUPE spokesperson Laura Walton says Ontario's education workers have their rights back. Now they can focus on reaching a fairly negotiated contract with the province. The federal government is earmarking another $800 million to low-carbon fuel projects. The money goes towards 60 projects in the hydrogen, renewable diesel and natural gas, synthetic fuel, aviation fuel, and ethanol sectors. It will be used for production facilities as well as studies on feasibility, engineering, and design. In 2021, the feds pledged $1.5 billion over 5 years towards the Canadian clean fuel industry. Back to Timmins history and the first newspaper, the Porcupine Advance. It first published in 1912, an offshoot of the Cobalt Nugget. Timmins Museum Director-Curator Karen Bachman says it fell apart and was revived in 1915 by George Lake.
And you will notice on Algonquin that the Porcupine Advance printers are still there. Well, that is George's building, and that's been there since probably 1915.
We'll have more about the Porcupine Advance next week. To sign up for news alerts, go to mytimmonsnow.com.